In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, now and unto the ages of all ages, Amen. So excited to be with you in our annual Ontario Coptic Youth Convention Conference, the place where we all come together to dig deeper into our spiritual lives. And our theme for this year is Created, a Copy, Remain Original. And the topic for the first session is authentic faith. And I'm so glad that we had actually the breakout groups before the session, because it's going to get our minds working and thinking about the topic and the subject that we are about to discuss. I'd like to start by sharing with you the table of contents, the topics that we are going to discuss tonight, God willing. We want to speak about our faith, authentic faith. We want to know what our faith is. What is it that we believe in? And faith is maybe a watered down or a simple word for the study of who God is. We want to understand who God is so we know what we believe in. And thus comes the word theology. What is theology? And why do we need to study it? We need to go through some definitions. I'm going to understand what a canon is, what Christology is, soteriology, what is orthodox, what is a heresy. And these are essential things, and I want you to be afraid of the big terms, because these things will help us and lead us to grow and dig in a little bit deeper into our faith once we understand these things. I want to discuss with you some of these heresies that have come against our faith in the past few centuries. Ever since the beginning of Christianity, no one was satisfied with the Christian faith. Many people, many heretics, many people wanted to go against the Orthodox faith. So we need to understand what these challenges are. We're going to briefly speak about Gnosticism, Islam, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, the Enlightenment heresies, atheism, other Christian denominations, and then we want to know, you know, the basics of our faith. What is it also that we believe in? We want to know who Christ is from the Holy Scriptures, and then we will conclude with final thoughts. And then at the end, hopefully we'll be all inspired to know our faith and to want to be like the defenders of the faith, to live the authentic faith that I want to conclude by each and every one of us reciting together with a very loud voice the Orthodox Creed, the Nicene Creed, the faith of our church, or at least the basic faith of our church, confessing the Holy Trinity, what we believe in God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the Incarnation, until the end and the second coming of Christ. So now you have a brief idea of what we will be discussing together. I remember a few years ago, I attended a meeting at the University of Toronto, whereas all different religions came together. It was like an interfaith gathering. And there were people who were Muslims, Jews, Sikh, Hindu, Christians from so many different denominations. But I also met people who believed like in aliens, and people who believed in other religions, okay, and other faith and beliefs. So such a huge gathering. Everyone was nice and sociable and got along together. Until we began, like I wanted to understand just a little bit about other people. Like I knew already about Islam and Judaism and some of these things, but I started to speak to some of these people who believed like in aliens and all of these things, and they were out there, okay? So they were in their own little world, which is fine. But the other people who were like very interesting to me that I started to speak with them were the Wiccans. You know who Wiccans are? Wiccans are people who believe in like witchcraft and black magic, and that they can change fate of people and future people, and they mix spells and all of these things, okay? Sort of like the Harry Potter environment, only in real life. And there were two ladies there that I started to speak with them just to understand their faith, and I asked one of them, you know, were you always a Wiccan? And she said, no, I was a Christian. I was a Presbyterian Christian. And I said, so what happened that made you change? She said, basically, my mom never forced any religion on us. We grew up, we saw hypocrisy in whatever church we were attending. Things weren't as they seem. People taught something in the church, but you go outside the church, you see a completely different lifestyle. And I was, you know, extremely, saw like a big stumbling block. This was a big stumbling block to me. And I started searching. And then I met a friend. And she pointed at this friend. She pointed at her. And she said, well, she was the one who introduced me to Wicca. And Wicca was great for me. The basic rule of the Wiccans was, do as you wish, harm no one. But while you are pursuing to do as you wish, you are actually harming some people because you're casting spells and you're trying to maneuver nature to make it according to whatever that helps your ways to get through. So let's say a girl likes a guy, so she goes and she does like a spell and all of these things to make him love her and fall into these things. You know, sexual liberation, whatever it is, there are no rules. The basic rule is there is no rule. Basically, the foundational rule of this religion, so to speak, is that there is no rule. That's the only rule. Fine? So that got me thinking, and then one more thing happened in that meeting. The pastor or person who was the chaplain who was responsible for this meeting, he got up and he started, you know, he wanted to say a prayer of thanksgiving. And this guy was so confused because he didn't know who to thank for what. So he started to speak, you know, to thank the Great Spirit because he didn't want to offend anyone. Not everyone believes in God. So he started to thank like the Great Spirit of the earth for giving us this and that and doing this. And I thought to myself, you know, the world that we live in today is so confused that while we are trying and pursuing so hard to be, you know, please everyone, to make every, not to offend anyone that is around us in their faith, and trying to be politically correct, it ended up that we ourselves became so confused, and we don't know what to do, who to thank, who to pray for, and it watered down our faith so much that we had lost this authentic faith. This pure faith that was handed down to us once and for all to the saints that Christ gave to his church, his bride, in our modern times, in our 21st century, all of a sudden everyone is so confused and it became a priority for individuals to be politically correct, to please everyone, not to offend anyone, to the point that we ourselves don't know anymore what we believe in. For this reason, it is really important for us as Orthodox Christians to review every so often, what is it that we believe in? And why do we believe in what we believe in? Because unless we know the reasons for our faith, it will be so easy for vultures, for foxes, for wolves to come and snap away the sheep from amongst the flock of Christ. One by one, you find, oh, where is this person? And I, you know, I'm sure my beloved Father Abuna Antonius and all the priests who have ministered and served youth for so many years. Some youth grew up in the church and then comes a certain time in their life and they have disappeared. Where are they now? Oh, we lost interest. Oh, it's boring. Oh, we can't seem to fit in. While other things are happening in their lives, what is it that's happening? They got introduced to a different denomination, another faith. They lost their faith. They became atheists. They conformed into the whole atmosphere with the university, which is the most challenging times in your life. It is possible that you are sheltered now in high school, but you have to brace yourself for college, university, postgraduate studies, because it's going to be a completely different world, unsheltered, exposed, where your faith is going to be attacked so hard. And unless you establish your faith today on a very solid foundation, I can assure you that when the time comes of the challenge, you are going to be shaken and you're not going to be able to stand the wily darts of the evil one. For this reason, this topic is extremely important that we speak about and we discuss and we pray every single day of our life to say, Lord, protect us from the fiery darts of the evil one that come and attack our faith. What is theology? And why do we need to study it? Theology basically is any reflection on the ultimate question of life that points towards God. Or it is very basically God talk. What are the sources of our theology? How do we know our faith? Where do we go to know what we believe in is correct and, you know, authentic. So basically we have four resources. The first one is the Holy Scriptures, the Word of God, the inspired Word of God, the Bible. Secondly, we have what is termed as natural theology. There are many places in the Scripture itself where it speaks about God manifesting Himself in nature, like Psalm 19, for example. Okay, the heavens declare the glory of God. So we can search for God in the order of nature. Also in the culture that we live in our day-to-day lives. And fourth source is the patristics, the writings of the early church fathers, along with all the councils of the church that have established what we believe in as a church. Now, why do we need to study theology? Basically, there is no approximation when it comes to faith. We cannot say that, you know, this is approximately what we believe in. In the early church, there was a big discussion over one letter. Homoousios, homoiousios. Okay? And I will speak about that a little bit later. That he is the, about the nature of Christ. Okay? Is he God or is he like God? Well, it makes a big difference. Even one letter in Greek makes a big difference. So imagine that you set a destination. You set yourself on, programmed your GPS to get to a certain destination. And then you were off by 1 degree. You were off by 1 degree after you travel 100 kilometers. How far off are you going to be? It's going to be like a V shape, right? So that's why when it comes to theology, when it comes to our faith, we cannot say, well, we kind of think that this is what it is, but we are open for discussion. Now, there are certain things when it comes to our authentic faith that are not up for discussion. They have already been set by the Scripture, by the early church fathers, by the councils, by the Holy Synod of the church that continues to set and determine our faith, and we have to accept these issues. There are other things which could be cultural, etc., that we can discuss, but when it comes to the foundation of the faith, it is the faith that has been handed down once and for all to the saints. Faith is handed down once to the saints. Thirdly, theology tells us precisely what we believe in and what we don't believe in. So it could also eliminate things. So it tells us what we believe in, what is our faith, but it also tells us what we do not believe in. Let me give you an example. The belief of the Virgin Mary. In the 11th century, the Catholic Church started to believe that the Virgin Mary is co-redeemer. Co-redeemer means that she had the exact same work in our salvation as our Lord Jesus Christ. The Church came out and she said, no, the Virgin Mary is all blameless. She is the Theotokos. We believe that she is the most pure person, but she is not God. She is not like God. She is a human being, but she is the top person. So theology would tell us what we believe, but also some things that we do not believe in. Theology is fixed, unchangeable, and is always true. And the real presence of heresies, which can ultimately shake our faith, makes us want more and more to know what is it that we believe in and why we believe in it. Let's look at some definitions so that we are following as we are going along. There are certain words that as Orthodox Christians, to be established in the faith, we must know and we must understand and we must be able to recall when the time comes. The first word is the word canon. The word canon deriving from the Greek word canon, meaning rule, or sometimes a measuring stick or a yardstick, or the norm. Okay? So it is something to measure against. It is used to indicate the limits that have been set by the consensus of the church councils to the texts which may be regarded as scriptural, and hence as authoritative for Christian theology. So for example, there are certain books that the church refused. How many of you heard about the Gospel of Thomas? Or the Gospel of Mary Magdalene, or the Gospel of Judas? All of these things were in the media maybe a couple of years ago. All of these things are not authentic Gospels. Why are they? We will speak now about Gnosticism. They were all part of the Gnostic movement that occurred from the 2nd century BC till about the 3rd or early 4th century after Christ. And these were literature that were not Christian literature. Okay? So the church, the early church fathers, the councils, they discounted them. They took them out of the canon. And they have set the four Gospels and the 27 books of the New Testament. Authoritative scriptures are inspired by the Holy Spirit. We have to understand that every book that we have in our Bible is inspired. Means that the Holy Spirit of God guided the apostles and the disciples to write His word. Yes, it could be written, some of them, in their own way or terminology, but they have, the Holy Spirit has protected the scriptures from any errors. Let us look at another important term. It's called Christology. Christology, of course, the first part is Christ. Ology is, it deals with the person of Jesus Christ and who Christ is. And this has caused so many confusions between religions. For example, in Islam, they don't believe that Christ is God incarnate. And in Judaism, they don't even believe that He's a prophet. So Islam thinks He's a prophet. Judaism doesn't think that He's a prophet. In some other religions, such as Jehovah's Witnesses, they may say that He is Archangel Michael, or one of the angels come in the flesh. So also as Orthodox Christians, it's really important for us to understand Christology, who Christ is. And also, we are going to, while we are studying Christology, we understand that in our Orthodox faith, we say that Christ is God incarnate. He is the Messiah. He is the Son of God. He is the Son of Man. He is Lord, and He is to be worshipped as part of the Holy Trinity. So it's really important in our authentic faith to understand that Christ is all of these things. You're going to be bombarded with Muslim friends mainly because they are the ones who evangelize. And they're going to come up to you and they say, Chris, we believe in Jesus. We believe in Jesus. You believe in Jesus, we believe in Jesus, right? And you're going to say, wow. They're going to say, it speaks about Jesus in the Quran. He was a great man. He was a prophet. He did miracles and all of these things. And this is one way that they want to draw you to themselves. And you think, wow, Islam speaks about it. Oh, that's amazing. But one thing they will never admit, to say that Christ, that Jesus our Lord, is God appeared in the flesh. They say, no, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. You know? No, that's impossible. God is in the heaven. No. He could be, you know, this good man, this, that. But no, don't say it. He says, no. I'm sorry. This is what we believe in, that Jesus, our Lord, is God incarnate. He is Messiah. He is Son of Christ. Messiah just means the chrismated one, or the one who was anointed, the anointed one. He is Son of God, He is Son of Man, and He is Lord. But also He is Logos, which means that in the beginning was the Word, the Logos, and the Logos was with God, and the Logos was God. Also, another really important term to know is the word soteriology. So the first one, Christology, means who Christ is. But soteriology, soter, you say, so pasoterin agathos, my God, Savior. So soter means to save. Okay, so soteriology means the study of salvation. So soteriology is, what did Christ do? What did He do mainly? He is the Savior. His salvation is to be linked with the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Therefore, Acts, a very important verse in the book of Acts, that actually I hope that each and everyone should memorize it by heart, because this is such an important verse. Acts 4:12. Nor is there salvation in any other, for is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Who is this name? What is this name? It is the name of Jesus. So if someone comes to you and says, you know, I'm a Jehovah's Witness, I'm a Mormon, say, do you believe that Jesus is the Savior of the whole world and no other name under heaven and earth that anyone could be saved under except through Jesus? They say, no, no, but John Smith this and Muhammad that and this. I'm sorry. There is no place for discussion. This is what the scriptures, no other name. Acts what? I want you to remember this verse. Acts?
4:12.
Huh? 4:12. Acts 4:12. No other name. I'm sorry. He is the Savior of the world. He is God incarnate. And we cannot accept any negotiation when it comes to our authentic faith. This is what we believe in. When we speak about soteriology, about the salvation of Christ, we are speaking that Jesus, our Lord, is the only one who will come at the end of the world to judge the living and the dead. Muhammad is buried in his grave. John Smith, any other prophet from the Old Testament, the only one who resurrected, rose from the dead, ascended to the heavens, and will come again to judge the living and the dead is Jesus Christ, our Lord. There is no negotiation about it. This is what our authentic faith is. This is what the scripture teach, and this is what we believe. That also to attain salvation, part of the word soteriology, means to attain salvation at the end of the time, I need, you and I, need, no matter what our rank is in the church, we need the means of salvation, which means that we have to be part of the church community, and we have to practice the holy sacraments, meaning baptism, confession, chrismation, the Holy Communion, and you know, if we are in need of the other three sacraments, also God will provide them for us. Where is the next slide? Okay, that's fine. It's okay. We're good. The next word that we must understand is the word orthodox. Now, what does orthodox mean? The word orthodox. Sit up, please. Sit up. Put your back on the chair. I want to see everyone's face. Beautiful face. Thank you. Don't lean forwards, okay? Thank you so much. All of us, or most of us, I hope all of us here, are Orthodox Christians. So what does the word Orthodox mean? It means the straight or unchanged faith, or the right opinion. Anyone heard about orthopedic shoes? What do these shoes do to you? If you are wearing orthopedic shoes, what do they help you to do, yes? Flat foot, any problem, they will help you to walk, what? Straight, okay? They were straight in ortho. So straight, unchanged, unwavered. Doxasi, glory, faith. So the unchanged or the unwavered faith is the orthodox faith. The faith that never changed or never wavered. Also, we have to understand that there are certain heresies in the world that we live in. Heresy is a theological or religious opinion or doctrine maintained in opposition or held to be contrary to the Orthodox Church doctrine. We call that a heresy. So let's say someone comes and says, like the Arians. The Arians, okay, the followers of Arius, what did they say? They say, Christ was the first creation of God. He was the first creation of God, but he is not the actual God. He could be God, but with a small g, not a capital G. We say that this is a heresy. It is a heresy. A heresy means that it is an opinion or doctrine maintained in opposition or held contrary to the Orthodox Church and doctrine. So we need to be really careful while we are pursuing and growing up in the church to be able to discern. I want to actually give you a little heads up to be careful about. There's so many little things that will seep into our life without us knowing it. Let's say some of the Western books are so attractive. The style is amazing, the examples, the stories, you know, they touch our lives, all of these things. So from the outside cover, everything seems to be perfect. But there are so many poisons inside certain books, certain televangelists that we listen to on TV, and you know, certain people who are trying to preach Christianity. In the middle, they are seeping little things that subconsciously we cannot, you know, say, oh, that sounds good, but really, they are against the Orthodox faith and against the Orthodox dogma. I want you to be careful. I don't want you to be so simple to listen to anyone on the TV or to read any book without discerning it. Does it speak about Christ as Lord, as Savior? Does it speak about the Holy Church as the Bride of Christ, where I go and be part of the community and worship God and practice the sacrament? Does it encourage me for good works? Or does it say that, well, I could be, you know, saved just merely by faith? I can say just a couple of words as if it's a nice promotion out there. Just say a couple of words and you're going to be saved. Salvation, as His Holiness Pope Shenouda III said, I say that I am saved, I am being saved, and I will be saved. It's not just something in a moment. It is a process, because I was saved in the past through the death and resurrection of Christ. I am being saved now, just like the book of Acts speaks about being saved, means that it is a process. I'm living my struggles in my day-to-day life, livelihood. I am repenting from my sins. I'm practicing and participating in the holy sacraments of the church. So I'm being saved. I'm being cleansed. And then finally, I will be saved in the future, meaning that at the second coming of Christ, I will attain my reward in heaven. So if someone comes up to you and tries to tell you, you know, just say these couple of words and everything is going to be okay, say no. My authentic faith that the church taught me is to say, I'm saved. Huh? I am being saved and I will be saved. This is the right Orthodox teaching. So many other things that I know some of you go to Christian schools. Some of you have many friends from different religions and different denominations. And sometimes they throw at us things that confuse us and they make us not realize what is it that we believe in. I want to encourage you to go and to ask. It is really important that part of the Orthodox faith is to have a spiritual father, a confession father, to have mentors in the church, the counselors who are around us, to go and to ask and to say, is this the authentic faith or is it something plagiarized? Let me give you an example about the difference between the authentic faith and the plagiarized faith. A couple of years ago, I was in Spain and I went to Picasso's museum, okay, in his hometown. And I saw some of the funniest drawings that I've ever seen. I'm not a person who enjoys art, but I'm sure that certain people, you know, there is this portrait that has basically like two lines, one like this, one like that, and then he signed Picasso. Okay, and everyone's like, oh, look at that. Oh, I mean, you know, they look like this, their picture, this and that. I say, you know, if I saw this on the street, I wouldn't pay $2 for it, right? I guess it's worth millions of dollars or something of that sort. But fine. I saw beautiful Picasso portraits all around the museum, right? And, you know, people love them so much. Or maybe Da Vinci in his Mona Lisa. Let's take the Mona Lisa for example. I've been to Paris and I went to the Louvre and I saw the Mona Lisa live in person. Let's say Da Vinci drew the Mona Lisa and then he gave it to some museum, right? Just walk with me. Then the Leonardo da Vinci passed away and then they passed the drawing to the next generation. Then someone, you know, the leader of this or the president of the museum said, you know, it's a beautiful portrait, but I don't really like her dress. You know, it's so 15th century or 16th century. Let's upgrade her a little bit. We're going to put on her a nicer dress, right? Something a little bit contemporary, 17th, 18th century. So they started to change her dress, put this, cut some sleeves, put a nice toca on her hair, whatever, okay? And they made it so attractive. And then, you know, the next generation came and said, oh, you know, her hairstyle is so old and out of contact, out of touch. You know, let's cut her hair, make her look contemporary, some curls in her hair, this, that, you know, send her to the coiffeur, whatever, okay? And come up with a better hairstyle. And then the next generation changed the colors because they didn't like it. And the next generation, until it came about in the 21st generation. And then, for some reason, Leonardo da Vinci pops out of his grave and he looks at the Mona Lisa. And what do you think he's going to say? He's going to say, what a beautiful portrait I drew. Do you think he's going to say this? What is he going to say? What do you think da Vinci is going to say about the Mona Lisa?
Huh? It's not mine.
It's not mine. What did you guys do? Yes? What would he say? What do you think? You ruined my art. It's not mine. It's the same thing when it comes to the faith and the church. It's not in our hands to plagiarize in it. It must remain authentic. It must. The beauty of the faith is to keep it exactly as it is. So if some of our Reformed friends, which whom we love and we respect and we pray for the salvation of every person's soul, comes up and he say, you don't need the sacraments, you don't need the church, salvation is in the moment, all of these things, I say, I'm sorry. That's not the faith that Christ left for us. Let's go back to the scriptures. Let's go back to the canon. Let's go back to the teachings of the early church fathers. And then we will find that we, as Orthodox Christians, still maintained the Orthodox and the authentic faith. Have you heard of someone by the name of Father Peter Gilchrist? He wrote a beautiful book called, Becoming Orthodox. Very good. And he said that they himself, as a leader of thousands of people, went on this quest to figure out in the end of the 20th century, which church was the one that resembled the early church. Which one resembled the early church? And he went to so many churches, and he finally came to the Orthodox Church, and he said, the early church, the first century church, was a liturgical church. He found this in the manuscripts, the Orthodox Church is a liturgical church. The early church was a sacramental church. The Orthodox Church was a sacramental church. The early church was a missionary church and a church of evangelism. The Orthodox Church is still the same way. The first century church respected the scriptures in its entirety, did not take and pick parts of it thereof. The Orthodox Church still maintained the same thing. And every single category that he researched, he came back to the Orthodox Church and he said, this is the authentic church. This is the church with the authentic faith that I want to be part of. And then he, and along with all his followers, converted to Orthodoxy and they started practicing it. There's so much more to speak on this subject, but I think just because of our time, I spoke about many of these things, and when we have more time, I can actually go into more details. So if you can just flip forward, please. Keep going. Just because of our time. Okay, let's leave Christ in the Bible. This is really important. Let's understand what is our faith. Having spoken about all the other things that we talked about, let's go back to focus on our Savior, our Lord. What does the Bible speak about Christ? He is eternal. John 1:1 says, in the beginning, you can read with me some of these verses, please. What does the Bible say about Christ? That He is eternal. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He is the judge. St. Paul said, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Preach the word. So we know that Jesus is the ultimate judge. 2 Timothy 4:1. He is God and Savior. Please read with me Titus 3:2, 13 and 14. Looking for the... I can't hear your voices. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous for good works. See, Christ is God and Savior. He is Creator together, for by Him all things were created, that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. Colossians 1:16. Let's conclude here and just have some final thoughts. The Holy Scriptures teach us Jude 1:3. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for. I want you to read with me this last part of the verse. This is such a very important verse that as Orthodox Christians we stick to by heart. It says, for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. It means that Da Vinci drew the Mona Lisa and he left it for all the generations to enjoy. For all the generations to enjoy. Okay? The faith, Christ established faith, the authentic faith in his church, and he left it for us to pass, as we say in the Divine Liturgy, from generation to generation. We sing this in the Divine Liturgy, right? We say, as it was, and it shall be, from generation to generation. You are Christophoruses. You are carriers of the faith. It is through you that the authentic faith is going to pass from your parents to your children. You are the link. You are the bridge. You must take responsibility for this authentic faith. Don't say, it's not my problem. Don't say, other people can do it. Don't say, I'm not really convinced or I really need to think about it. Fight through it. Battle through it. If there is something that you need to figure out, the answers are there. There are no questions that don't have any answers. We believe in a church, in one Lord, in one faith, and in one baptism. Only last week, a young person came to me saying that they went to a Christian camp. And in this Christian camp, the counselor said, you don't really need to be baptized. You just say a few words and you are saved. What about Mark 16:16 that says, if we believe and we are baptized, we will be saved? We can cancel half of the verse? No. So then we go back to the word inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We go back that the canon, this is what the scripture says and this is what we believed. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And as we mentioned in the beginning, remember that one letter can make a big difference. Read these two Greek words. Can you, you know these pictures that you have to figure out the differences between them? Right? Can you figure out the difference between these two words? Homoousios means of like substance. While homoousios, of the same substance. Which one concerning Christ, the relationship between Christ and God, do we believe in? Do we believe in the first one or the second one?
The second one.
Who says that we believe in the first one? That Jesus is of like substance to the Father. Okay, who believes that Jesus, our Lord, is of the same substance as the Father? Oh, all of you are theologians now. This is what theology is, to understand. Part of it is to understand the nature of Christ. And we say, homoousios. Jesus is of the same substance as God the Father. Good. We have to be careful that we live in a generation spreading blasphemies and heresies due to the hardness of their hearts. As the scripture says, for the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. You go and you discuss with people, it says, this is what the scripture says. They say, no, I believe otherwise. Why? Their hearts are hardened. Be careful. Be careful not to be affected and commit these people to Christ. I know sometimes we want to convert others around us by force. Pray for them. But you be confirmed in the faith, in the Orthodox faith first. And very important to start by learning your faith and be convinced of it. And it is in these opportunities that we spend together that we get to learn about who we are, about what our faith is, and grow and dig deeper in the authentic faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen. At times, we have to take things in the scriptures because the Bible trusts that if God says so, then it is true. This is what we believe in. At other times, our faith will seek understanding. We say it is faith seeking understanding. Please put your backs to the chairs. I'm almost done. I want to see your lovely faces. Good. That's much better. You've been great so far. Give me a couple of more minutes. We must establish a common denominator when discussing matters of faith. Like, we are living in a time when we have to defend our faith. And as 1 Peter 3:15 says, be ready. Be ready at all times to answer anyone who asks you about the reason of the hope that you have in you. So, I just want to encourage you before you get all heated up and to start defending the faith. Someone comes to you, let's say a Muslim, and wants to make you doubt your faith about Christ. Say, what is our common denominator? Do you believe in every word that the Bible says? If he says yes, then you start quoting other scriptures from the Bible. If he says no, well, the Bible has faced changes throughout the years, then don't go into this subject until you figure out what is the common denominator between you and this person. If you are speaking with an atheist and he has a question about God, says, how are we going to discuss this subject? Do you believe in, you remember the four sources for theology that we mentioned in the beginning? What were they? Four sources of theology. They were? One of them is natural theology. Scriptures. Culture. Sometimes things that we can deduce from our world that is around us. And fourthly? Patristics and the councils of the church, etc. What is the common denominator? Which one do you believe in? Then you will be able to figure out an answer for their question. Theology is not only a science or philosophy, but it involves the work of the Holy Spirit to guide and to reveal. Thus, prayer, submission, and trust must be established. Let me tell you why I'm saying these words. Because it's not only a discussion involving logic and science. Many people, you know, many of us are very scientific, and we want to establish proofs about issues of the faith, and most of these things are present and are available for us. But unless we place, you know, in the Divine Liturgy, when Abuna comes out of the altar before reading the Gospel, and then he goes something like this, what is this action of placing the Gospel over the head? Why? Why do you think that is? Why do you think Abuna does that? He is saying that. Any clues? The Gospel is above all. Yes. The Gospel is above my head and above my logic. Many things I will seek to understand and I have answers for them. But the Word of God abides forever. The Word of God is on top. God comes number one. And faith in Him comes before anything. That's why I want to encourage you. If you have any doubts, tell Him, Lord, my faith has its doubts. But you come out on top. I still believe in you. And in due time, you will show me the right faith and I will walk in it with my whole heart. So it's not only a science or a philosophy, but it involves the work of the Holy Spirit. And I must approach issues of faith with full submission, with prayer, before I actually come and speak about any subject. I want to say that much more time and effort must be exhibited to be stronger in our faith. And I want to encourage you to begin digging deeper. We have merely touched the surface tonight, but I want you to go home, ask your father of confession, your mentors, your counselors for books, and dig deeper into your faith so that you can truly not only say, oh, I'm Orthodox, I'm the son of the Pharaohs, I'm the son of the martyrs, I'm the son. No. If you want to say all these things, you must live in them. You must prove to yourself that you have searched the scriptures and live as the son of the martyrs and the early church fathers. Spiritual guidance from a confession father and inquire about any challenges to your faith. Be sure that you belong to the one, only, holy, Catholic, or universal apostolic church. Do not settle for any imitations. Knockouts. You know, when you go and you want to buy a brand and then, you know, oh, you want to settle for a knockout, you want to spend a little bit less money, so you go and you buy a Nike shirt or whatever brand, Gucci or whatever. It's worth $500 and oh, you want to settle for $20. Right? You want to buy it for $20 because why? I can't afford it. No. Don't settle for any knockouts or unauthentic attire. Go for the original. The original is your church and your faith. And you must be established and so satisfied because our faith and our church is so rich. And it is worth the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ who sent us His only begotten Son, our Lord, God and Savior, to save us, to redeem us, and to draw us back to Himself. And He wants us to be in this genuine and authentic faith. Okay. I think we want to conclude now. But there's something that we have to conclude in. One thing that I always notice during the liturgy, after the gospel and just before the prayer of reconciliation, we always say the creed, the Orthodox creed. But there is hardly anyone in the church reciting it. Everyone is like, oh, I believe in one God. They're just mumbling. No, don't mumble the creed. If there is anything in the liturgy that you must sing and say wholeheartedly, it is the Orthodox creed. And that's what we want to practice this tonight. So I want you to stand up, please, and recite it wholeheartedly. This is the authentic faith. We are going to recite it together. Are you ready? The deacon will say, in the wisdom of God, let us attend. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy in truth. We believe in one God, God the Father, the Pantocrator, who created heaven and earth and all things seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all ages, light of light, true God of true God, begotten, not created, of one essence with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and of the Virgin Mary and became man. And He was crucified for us under Pontius Pilate, suffered and was buried. And the third day He rose from the dead, according to the Scriptures, ascended into the heavens. He sits at the right hand of His Father, and He is coming again in His glory to judge the living and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. Yes, we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, we confess one baptism for the remission of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the coming age. To God forever. Amen.